As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Has a 0-0 draw ever prompted an emergency podcast before? First time for everything, I suppose. No dicking around with a fancy intro for this bonus Wire Wizards. Let's get straight to it. David Mooney here. This is Sam Lee. Hi, Sam.
Morning.
A thorough unpacking of the match against Atletico Madrid coming up, and boy, does it need unpacking. But first, the formalities. You can read everything on City on The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just go to theathletic.com/mancitypod and sign up. You can get these podcasts without the ads as well. Sign up at theathletic.com/mancitypod. Sam, what happened? What happened there?
Well, in a lot of ways, nothing. In terms of the game, obviously everyone's just here for the ruckus, aren't they, really? I mentioned how I went to the pub after the Liverpool game the other night just to kind of, you know, adrenaline and unpack it, talk about it a bit more. But I ran into a bloke in there and he was like, why didn't you do a podcast last week? I was like, we did. Did one last Monday or whatever. And he was like, no, after the Atletico game. I was like, well, We don't really do them after Champions League games, but I certainly took the point. Like, it was, you know, it was a good enough game to discuss.
Yeah,
and so obviously we were like, well, we'll play it by ear this week. If the second leg is eventful enough, then we'll do one. And it's only one of those things you have to see it unfold to know if it's worth one or not. But obviously the way the game finished yesterday, just absolutely was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the standout thing for me, other than the performance, or, you know, kind of lack of performance in the second half, was City embracing those Atletico dark arts and using it against them. Now, people can have a million different ways to feel about that. Now, it doesn't bother me when Atletico do it in the first place. So if I said, I like Simeone. I like Atletico Madrid. I think what they do is great. So I can then be allowed to enjoy it when City do it to them, because you've got to laugh, haven't you? But also, if you don't enjoy it, but then you can also kind of take the Schadenfreude element of it happening to them.
Yeah.
There's that viewpoint as well. And I suppose there's the other view of, well, City were just as bad, you know, we shouldn't be celebrating, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not here for that. Like I say at the start, because I enjoy it anyway. Crack on, lads. And City were great at it, let's be honest. Like,
this is
time wasting and the rolling around on the floor was fucking expert.
This is what I was going to say, though, because you were obviously in the stadium, so you didn't get the kind of BT Sport commentary, but like the commentary afterwards always seemed to be around, oh, like, poor little Manchester City going there and getting lumps kicked out of them, and I can't believe that Atletico have sunk to this level, and like as if City were the innocent party in this. Now, City got booted up and down that pitch, but they were. I thought they were very, very cute in how they kind of used Atletico's strengths against them. Atletico's strengths are exactly that, killing the game, you know, making it frustrating. And then suddenly, when it's in City's favour to do that, it was just like, bang, 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 we are going to teach you a lesson now on how to do it.
Yeah, but like, genuinely, I tweeted a joke, like, so I, with probably about 30 minutes to go, maybe, I was like, City borrowed a few Liverpool tricks at the weekend, which is obviously we talked about all the long balls over the top and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, absolutely fine. I was like, and they're borrowing a few Atletico tricks here with like a clock emoji and an ambulance emoji kind of thing, like wasting time and all that kind of thing. But then, like, honestly, by the end, I said they really cranked it up at the end. Like, Atletico could learn a thing or two. Like, genuinely, it was great. But I suppose it's funny, isn't it? Because if we go back to last week and like Grealish coming on and they all just lost their heads. And it was just like, you're supposed to be good at this, but, and you are in a way, but if you're really good at it, then you don't rise to it. It's obviously not just like, it's obviously a very cynical ploy to play like that and to waste time, but it's not like they're completely in control, because the littlest thing can kick them off. And it does go to show that, I suppose, this is probably obvious for anyone who's kind of, I mean, I'll say anyone who's kind of been in this position, how many people would have been, but in kind of like an aggressive situation like that, I suppose you do need to play on the edge, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're not gonna switch it on and then just calmly react to situations. But like, so the way that, you know, they kicked the ball at Grealish last week, I say they, you know, it was just one guy, we kind of talk about them as like a pack of animals, which is either fair or unfair. I think unfair, because they do play. But yeah, so the Grealish thing, and then Cunha, I think it was, who'd like tried to buy the headbutt off Laporte, which was just like ridiculous. Well, if we're going down, we're going to take you with us kind of thing, which at least would have us an input for the second leg, an impact on the second leg. But the thing at the end was, and I saw this quote from Laporte this morning on Twitter when I landed, I think it was. And he was like, I don't know if it was us or them wasting time at the end, because they made a load of crazy decisions. And this is what I was thinking. So I had to write like a kind of blow by blow thing of all the, you know, the brawl and everything around it.
Can I just take a second to appreciate that quote from Laporte? I don't know if it was us or them wasting time. That's fascinating, the insight into how confusing the end of that game must have been for some of those City players.
Yeah, because I mean, and City definitely did. And in that extra time, like, Mahrez got booked for taking forever a free kick. Foden got booked for, like, they'd given a free kick and he kind of tackled the guy anyway and kicked the ball away, which is just, Foden was like one of the best at it.
Oh, he sparked it all by rolling on back onto the pitch, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah, so the whole, which we will obviously discuss, but yeah, the whole thing about it being a ploy and stuff. But like I say, Savic was obviously like, well, in these situations, if you need to see a game out to start a fight, like, it's so obvious, and you can see footballers do it so often. But also, if you're on the opposite end of it, don't start a fight. Like, if you're annoyed at Foden for rolling back on the pitch, I get it. But if you're this kind of super cynical team that knows all the tricks of the trade, don't fall for the tricks of the trade. Because you started a massive fight there that wasted forever. Like, when Felipe got sent off, he was an absolute liability. He was arguing for another minute, solidly. And okay, I mean, all the time did get added on at the end. So maybe this is all just part of it. And, you know, it's elongating the game and whatever. You manage to have a scrap and whatever, and everyone's happy. But it's like, they weren't making the rational decisions at the end. But it was mad. And like, watching it back, you see when Foden was back up on his feet, Fernandinho like pushed him to the ground. It was like, no, go down again. And then like Koke came over and was having a go, and Fernandinho just like shoved him, was like, piss off. And then Kondogbia, it was like another like 20 odd seconds of Foden being on the ground again, maybe more. Kondogbia came round. Obviously, he was one of the worst for it in the first leg in terms of play acting and stuff like that. And Fernandinho shoved him out of the way as well. And yeah, I mean, look, everybody's seen it, everybody's talking about it. But I mean, if it hadn't have happened, I don't know what people would have been talking about at Madrid Airport this morning. Or wherever people happen to be, because not a lot happened. What we'd have been probably saying if it had finished 0-0 was, well, fair play for City for holding on. They weren't at their best, but, you know, it's a big test of character, which it was.
It
would have been. It would have been, but we wouldn't have been doing a podcast on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it all went so mad at the end. But obviously, we've talked about that, but all the chances they had and the drama, and obviously, like, City's loosening grip on the whole tie from half-time onwards. It just got more and more precarious. I remember tweeting at halftime, because City were in control. Like, obviously, they had a good chance with Gundogan. Atletico hadn't really had any chances whatsoever. They had a shot, but it wasn't a proper one.
Yeah.
So City were in control. But I did think, I was like, yeah, I mean, if they do need to find a goal, if Atletico score, I don't know if they're going to have, I don't know if they'll find it easy to change a gear. And maybe they would have, because they just battled past Liverpool and scrapped and fought in a way that you know, we kind of forget that City can do, or because, you know, they're so clinical and clean and precise and stuff, you kind of forget that they can scrap as well. So maybe they could have found that gear if Atletico had scored. But towards the end, I was genuinely thinking, if Atletico score here,
City going out,
bad news.
Yeah,
it's bad. Yeah, I was like, City are out. I mean, obviously, when Felipe got sent off, if it had been extra time with 10 men against them, then it probably would have been backs against the wall again, wouldn't it, and gone to penalties, I guess.
Well, the thing is, like, it's hard to say what happens next, because what happens in extra time after a 22-man brawl? I don't know. I tensions are still high at that point, aren't they? Yeah. There's entirely
also
the possibility.
I think everybody needs to sit back though, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what happens there. I mean, if it goes to penalties, I'm not confident in City on penalties, but that's kind of like post-traumatic stress these days of watching City take penalties for the last 2.5 years. But I don't want to keep coming back to this stuff at the end, but I think it's fascinating. What happened in the tunnel?
No, that's the only reason we're here, let's be honest.
What happened in the tunnel?
I don't really know too much more than anybody else does, which is a good starting point for a journalist on a podcast. But yeah, it seemed like Savage. I mean, we haven't even really mentioned Savage, have we? I know, obviously, grabbing Foden, but I mean, Christ. I mean, what's happened to him?
Yeah, there was a little headbutt in there as well.
Exactly. The headbutt on Sterling.
That didn't get picked up.
But why didn't Sterling go down? Like, if you're going to, like, if I suppose it's the only, I was going to say, up until just thinking that, it would have been 10 out of 10 for City for the time wasting and the play acting and stuff. But probably a 9.5, because if Sterling had gone down, then Savage would have been sent off as well, and then you'd say, "Oh, forget it. You can score if you want, lads. We'll just
take
your part in extra time." Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, defend that one. But so there was the headbutt. Obviously, the pulling him back on the pitch, pulling Grealish's hair. I mean, the Grealish thing is iconic, isn't it? Really.
That's. I mean, that is. I've seen City fans today saying that's paid back his 100 million and then some. And yeah. It's just like it's memeable. That's the thing. It's like one of my friends. I don't know how widespread it could become, but you know, there's the meme on Twitter of the Mbappe crying gif when people are upset.
Yeah.
There's the sort of, like somebody said, can you make the Grealish thing a gif just so that we can use that as that like the response when people are upset now.
Yeah, although I imagine I'm going to be getting a lot of that, aren't I? So, thanks for that.
Sorry,
but yeah, no, I mean that was great. The hair thing was just absolute comedy. Grealish didn't seem that bothered by that, but Gundogan was properly pissed off. And if Gundogan's pissed off, then you know, something has gone wrong.
Yeah,
he was there with Sterling. He was trying to tell the ref about the hair pull and stuff. It's a bit mad that it got missed. I don't know, because there's VAR, everything's supposed to be covered, isn't it? So I don't know politically if UEFA would be like, oh, we missed it, so we'll give you a ban, or they'll just try and keep a lid on it and pretend it's all under control.
I did wonder about
that.
They'll be getting
some kind of punishment, surely.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Yeah, I did wonder about the VAR though, because I mean, like, there's absolutely no way on earth. I mean, I wasn't impressed with the referee anyway, but there's no way on earth he could have possibly seen everything that happened in.
No,
but like the fact that it happened so late in the game, did whoever was on the VAR just go, "Listen, there is so much going on here, let's just finish the game"? let's just get to full time, and then we'll deal with whatever we need to deal with afterwards. Because there's, like we said, the hair pull was missed, the headbutt on Sterling was missed. Like there's more to it than just, you know, 22 men grabbing each other by the shirt and pulling each other around a bit. There was so much going on in there, and to have, yeah. I mean,
Ake even, got booked. Did you notice Ake got booked?
Yeah, Ake got booked. I'm not really sure what for.
He grabbed Savage. I had to see it again this morning. He was like, obviously Zinchenko was the first one there, separating them from Foden, but Ake piled right in. And he just kind of like grabbed him around the kind of collar, really, or whatever, just to be like, hey, what are you doing?
What are you on,
but a bit more aggressively than the others, which is fair enough, isn't it?
And then like the red card, even the red card was a second yellow. And I thought for the challenge, it's like the tackle itself, I thought that was fine.
That was the one that you could hide. Yeah, the tackle obviously was fine. And the after one was one of those classic ones where you could swear blind that it was an accident. Everyone would know what you're up to, but it's hard to punish.
Yeah.
But which is what he did with the first one on Foden, with that shoulder in the back of the head. But I mean, that's easier to punish. It's at least a yellow card.
Yeah.
But what he did get booked for was like taking someone from behind. I can't remember who now.
Probably
Foden. But it was like the one he did get booked for, the second booking was probably the more innocuous of the three. But he meant all of them.
Yeah, I thought he was genuinely, when I saw the first one, I thought he was lucky to stay on the pitch for that, because it was very much a case of I am coming through the back of you.
You can see it coming.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, like, even that was only a second yellow. So, like, how we got to that point of having such a brawl, and then effectively two yellow cards being flashed for that, and then one for City. It just kind of, it feels like the VAR just went, well, I'm not getting involved in this.
You wonder what the limit was. Like, for Ake to get a book in, it's almost like, well, we need to book one of their players. And he, like, almost like, I don't know, pick the name out of a hat, who's going to get one. But to be fair, as much as it was all mad, the decisions were probably fine. I mean, obviously, apart from not sending off Savage as well, like, I don't think there was any other Atletico players or City players, despite the fact that loads were involved, that actually would have deserved a yellow card, I don't think. Because it was all kind of handbags. And it's like, if you're going to... Basically, you would have been booking everyone.
Yeah.
Which would have just been a shambles.
Yeah.
You could have lined them all up and...
One, two, three, four, yeah, the old thing. Can we take a second as well to appreciate Phil Foden's... Just the way... I mean, first off, the way he took that challenge. Because... like it was a brutish challenge.
Which one are we talking about?
The one that sparked the brawl.
Yeah. Okay.
But then
what a run? He ran about 70 yards.
Yeah. Just after
they had a chance.
Yeah. To relieve the pressure, and he was like getting it up the pitch, and then to have the wherewithal after taking that kick to go, in order to relieve some more of this pressure, I'm getting back onto the pitch.
Yeah. Exactly. It's funny, isn't it? Because I don't want to talk about City as if they're saints normally, and all of a sudden they've just done this dark side. But I mean, but at the same time, they're not terrible. You wouldn't say they're cheats. You wouldn't say Foden's a cheat. I don't remember Foden ever diving. In fact, you obviously remember that penalty incident against Southampton last season when he tried to get back up and didn't get the pen. So there's stuff like that. But it makes me think now, have all footballers got it in the locker, and if they needed to, it can come out? Because like you don't really see that from Foden, but he was as expert at it as Fernandinho, and Fernandinho has been doing that for about 50 years.
Yeah.
When Fernandinho came on, I was like, oh, fucking hell, like this is problems. And there was a couple
somebody's being sent off it.
Yeah, but more in terms of the performance, I thought, is he going to be able to do the things he needs to do? And there was like an interception initially that. I mean, don't know if you can have a missed interception, but you know what I mean if I say it. And I just felt that prime Fernandinho would have got that. But there were a couple of times when he lost the ball high up, and then there was one he lost the ball high up and then went to chase it, and they just passed around him. And it's like, you're already out of the game here. This is not what you're on the pitch to do. Or maybe it was, but he was very good overall, Fernandinho. It was that chance in the last minute, you know, the 12th minute of extra time when like. The ball went into the box, and Fernandinho tried to head it clear, and he just headed it like it skimmed off the top of his head into the box, and then it got cleared. And you think, okay, fine. And then what? I can't even remember what happened. I've seen it a lot, but it's everything's just a bit of a blur. I've actually got it up on my laptop now. I watched the final 20 minutes at the airport this morning. It was phenomenal. But when the ball fell to him in the box, you just think, oh God, this is it. But the mad thing about that was City had a throw-in in their corner, basically where Foden got fouled at the start of the brawl in the 12th minute of injury time. And they didn't do it particularly poorly to lose the ball from the corner, but within 30 seconds, Atletico Madrid were in their box.
Yeah,
in terms of that kind of game management, there were so many times when City lost it. That was it. Fernandinho just kind of, he was charging out the box. It wasn't really a mistake from Fernandinho, but he was charging out the box, got tackled. The kind of follow-up hit Carrera on the floor. And then as soon as you get into the box and have that shot, yeah, it was Carrera who stood up, had the shot. Edison, very similar to the Jota goal at the weekend. It was closer to, it was closer to him than he was probably expecting. So, from his point of view and City's point of view, thank Christ he didn't squeak under it. If that had gone under him, I think it's always difficult with Edison because I always say, well, who are you going to get? There's nobody in the world that's going to be better than Edison that you can get. And unless I'm overlooking, to be fair, I didn't really know much about Edison when they signed him. But whenever this has been said in the past, in the 2019-20 season, I remember it was said a lot about him not being great. I was like, well, you ain't going to get better. So it was kind of have to accept it. But I reckon if that had gone in, I think people would have been properly livid about that one. But he was solid when he needed to be. Somebody tweeted me, you know, we said at the weekend about when there's pressure on your team, he always just comes and catches it.
Yeah,
he tried to punch one, didn't he, last night, and then nearly scored. Fuck's sake!
Yeah, exception that proves the rule. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to touch on Guardiola as well, because his reaction after the game to the brawl, I thought was quite interesting, because it was he basically no commented everything, didn't he?
Yeah,
and it would have been very easy for him to kind of go in on it. Especially when Diego Simeone asked directly after the game if any of his players had crossed the line. His response was, on which occasion?
Yeah, brilliant. I love that. But I think it was a kind of, well, you tell me, you spell it out. But obviously you could also read it as, well, it happens so often, like, I've lost track.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of like, you're going to ask me this question, then
you got to tell me.
And that's what I was expecting. But the follow-up was just kind of, oh yeah, well, there was this and there was that, but I would have had like an itemized list. Do you know what I mean? Well, there's one on Foden in the first half. There was the foul. There was the headbutt. There was the hair pull. All of that. But again, I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily asked it, because look, Atletico were, to be fair, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a fair question, and the difference being between the two teams, Atletico Madrid were rough with it. Like, I don't think anything that City players did was dangerous. And like, I've heard some of the BT commentary, like disgraceful scenes. It's like, do you have to say that? Like, everyone loves a big fight in the football. I don't know anyone who doesn't. Everyone loves that. And it's fine to kind of laugh and joke and take the piss about it. But I suppose it's only fine because Sterling didn't get hurt by the headbutt.
Yeah.
Foden seems to be all right. But obviously City were giving it back as much as, but in terms of crossing the line, it was a fair question, wasn't it? Because yeah, there were moments that could have seriously hurt the City players.
Yeah, there was good spells where there was an Atletico player, whoever it was, out of control. There were, like, the foul on Foden, the daft thing on that challenge that sparked the brawl. He won the ball. Like, Felipe wins the ball and he puts it out of play, and okay, it's a City throw-in at that point, but he's won the ball. It's a fair challenge. He doesn't need to then have a swipe at Foden afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's that old PE teacher thing of, it's your own time you're wasting.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it goes back to what you were saying at the start. If you're supposed to be good at this sort of stuff, why have you just done that there?
Yeah, exactly. Because their heads would come off again, really.
Yeah.
But it's like, but this is the time when you're closing in, really. Like, this is the time when if you're ever going to do it, it is now. And they were on top. And like I say, Foden with that run up the pitch, 80-odd yards, maybe probably a bit less. Like, that came at a time when Atletico were really pushing. You just think all you'd want to do is just get the ball down the other end as soon as possible, rather than have a massive ruck for 5 minutes and possibly get two red cards. That's what I mean. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, they weren't, I don't think you could say they were in complete control and they were doing their usual dark arts, let's win the match this way kind of thing. It was just a full-on head loss situation.
Yeah, this is
which
not
is like, which is what happened in the tunnel as well, obviously, because obviously by then, you know, it's not just, oh, well, they do this to eat up minutes or rattle you or whatever. The game was over. They were just pissed off. So in terms of going down the tunnel, it was Savage following Grealish and having a go. And then there was the second round, wasn't there, when they got to the top of those stairs and Rusalko came in and chucked something at Walker. And then did he spit?
Yeah.
Apparently. Jesus. I mean, he didn't even get on the pitch, that fucker. I mean, he probably did it at some point in the brawl. But yeah, not officially. I'd love to know. I'd love to know why Walker, like, what had Walker been up to? Presumably, you know, they'd been having a go. Because I managed to download the game last night and I watched it a bit, the last 20 minutes at the airport, and they mentioned how, and I didn't see this in the stadium, but they said something like somebody on the Atletico bench was like having a row with somebody on the City bench, like just to kind of, as the game was going on kind of thing, about 5 minutes into injury time. So it might have been related to that kind of thing.
Yeah. Something else about that Foden run, that is, it's literally just come to mind. So I apologise to all the listeners and to you, Sam, for being very sketchy with the details here, because I can't really remember it very well. But it reminded me, like, because he skipped a challenge first, didn't he? And to kind of break into the space where he ended up getting chopped down. Was it Cameroon against Argentina in the World Cup that time? Where it was...
Yeah, Canigia, was it?
Yeah, and there was... I just remember, like, each of the challenges that he skipped was getting more and more vicious until the last one, which was, like, at hip height. Just to kind of give me flashbacks to that sort of run.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Was that Canigia? It wasn't on Roger Miller, was it? I'm not sure.
It could have been.
But I know exactly what you mean, because it was... And it's one of those, isn't it? Everyone knows watching football with stuff like that. You think, it's coming. And I'm sure referee games... that if there's one tackle, you let go, and there's another tackle, you let go, like, you might not even let go of the second one anymore, because you just don't want that momentum to build, because, you know, the adrenaline's pumping in, the players going for the ball, and if there's a third tackle, it's probably going to be a bad one. So that's why I think there's so many soft free kicks in football now, because they don't want it to get to that stage. But yeah, obviously with that one, it was... But again, Felipe the daft twat, he tackled him. And like, okay, you don't want to give City a throw-in in that corner, but as we saw later on, Atletico still managed to go down the other end from those situations, even with 10 men. So, yeah, it wasn't sensible game management from them. And like I say, City's was, in terms of wasting the time, but when they did have the ball, like, they were hopeless in terms of keeping it, weren't they, in the second half?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences, like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's get into that, because this is Guardiola after the game talking about the actual display, especially in the second half.
They push us a lot. They were excellent in the second half. We forgot to play and we were in a big trouble. They had the chances to score. The second half, we had just one for the action from Raheem with Gundo. The first half was pretty good, except the first 5-10 minutes that they knew they came up aggressively. We had one or two clear chances, but the second half, 180 minutes, the second half for the second leg, they were much better. But in the same times, we defend with anything, with everything, and Fernandinho was excellent. He gave us an incredible boost in that moment, and Nathan as well. So we have to adapt, because when a team played like Atletico Madrid the second half and we could not have the ball and our build-up was a little bit without intention, just to, I pass you the ball to you, you pass the ball to the other one, without really, really play, because it's 1-0, it's the Champions League, we are not used to play this competition much. It's the third time in our history just to be in semi-final. So, and yeah, we felt a little bit the pressure. And Atletico Madrid was brilliant in the second half. So, but we were in semifinals, and for our club, it's an incredible achievement.
You can kind of sense mixed emotions about it from him, because it's like it's obvious. I think he's disappointed with how City coped with the pressure, especially when they had the ball. Because like he's talking about, you know, passing it and not getting anywhere with the passing, like not achieving anything with the passing. But equally, you can see that he's proud of the way the players came through what is, I mean, undoubtedly a challenge that they've not really faced before.
Yeah, it's like the Liverpool reaction at the weekend, isn't it? In terms of Guardiola's reaction to the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
He was obviously disappointed, but at the same time, he knew that they were brilliant. So it's similar, but the same kind of mixed emotions. Last night, in terms of them, you're saying they just passed it around without the intention. They really did, and he said the pressure got to them a bit. And you could just tell, because Atletico, they were pressing, and they were higher up the pitch, they had more men, and it was like they were cutting off the options. But whereas against Liverpool, City would just go, okay, we'll play over the top. Or against most teams, they can work it around enough and they will eventually find the free man. And I was looking, because I was like, there must be a free man somewhere. I was like, there's no way Atletico Madrid, at half-time of this game, have suddenly come up with a game plan to cover every man on the pitch. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. And there were free men, and it was kind of like Bernardo and De Bruyne when they were still on the pitch. Behind the midfield line, because they'd pushed up to, you know, to stop Rodri and Gundogan getting on the ball as well, so that, and they were in front of the opposition defender, so they dropped off, they weren't playing right up alongside them. And normally City, you know, Laporte could clip a ball into them or drill it along the floor, Edison could obviously find them, but they weren't doing it, and I just thought they were too nervous. I think they were too nervous of putting the ball forward, because obviously it wasn't the game plan, it was against Liverpool. I think they were too nervous of putting the ball forward, because they didn't in the first half, because they were very like kind of slow and controlled
and methodical,
and what they usually do. But in the second half, I don't think they wanted to risk making those passes to find the free men. And so they ended up just, passing it around, doing nothing, because nothing, there was no option they wanted to take. And then when they did take it, it was just kind of scruffy, and they just lost it so easily. And like, so even with that throw-in at the end, like, they would lose the ball from situations where they should never have really lost it. And that's why, you know, as the game went on, I was like, oh God, if Atletico score, it's going to be so difficult to turn this around. But like Guardiola said then, they did defend very well, and Stones was fantastic. Obviously, man of the match. Everyone's been raving about him. But I mean, Laporte was great as well. I thought Walker was good. Somebody said Walker was shit on the way back from the game. But I thought Walker was good. Cancelo was good, and Ake was brilliant when he came on.
Can I say something that I don't know if this will shock you or not, but I had a look at the BBC match report, and obviously the man of the match is decided by player ratings from people reading it, so it's kind of like a crowdsourced thing. Nathan Ake was the best rated player.
Wow, okay.
Which, I mean, he was on, I mean, what, 17?
Yeah, exactly. It surprises me because he wasn't on for long, but it doesn't surprise me because he was very, he didn't put a foot wrong, did he? He was very good. And also to go into a game like that, I know, look, at the end, everyone who went on, they had to do it, and Fernandinho did as well, but to go on unexpectedly, changing formation, you go out and play at left back, to switch on to that game, to switch on to everything that was going on, it was really, really impressive. And obviously, whenever Ake's played recently, he has been very good, and it's been unfortunate that, because he's obviously still got that in the squad, even with Guardiola, where it's like, well, he is obviously fourth choice, but getting to the point maybe where it's like, well, he actually deserves to be playing now. He doesn't deserve to drop out of the team so easily. I'm sure he'll play against Liverpool. But it does feel like, fair play to him. He is making the most of his opportunities, and it would only be fair for him to stay in the team. Although that said, I suppose maybe he'll have to if, let's say, Cancelo's rested at the weekend and Walker's out for a while, as we're talking now.
Well, Cancelo's suspended as well for the semi-final now.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to see about Walker as well, but that's, what, the first leg's in 2 weeks. As we're talking now, about midday on Thursday, the club haven't done a they haven't done the checks on him yet. Apparently he was quite upbeat the night before, but although in my experience of asking footballers how they are with an injury after the game, they always say it's fine, even if it's not. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, if they're moving that defense around and Ake comes in, like I'd have no problems with that. I mean, I'd still don't know what's happened with poor old Zinchenko, but I suppose the big factor last night was the aerial threat, because Ake's good in the air. He's not massive, is he? But he's
quite good in the air.
But he's good in the air. He's better in the air than Zinchenko, you'd have to say. So that was probably part of the thinking. But yeah, I suppose we'll see Ake again on Saturday, and him and Grealish can score a hat-trick each.
Shall we have a quick listen to Guardiola? He was asked about John Stones' performance, and he couldn't help himself but to kind of praise the rest of the defence. This is what he said.
John was brilliant. Yeah, definitely. And I'm as well. Everyone. So a lot of games in our legs, and the travel from after Liverpool game was so demanding, and we drop. In the second half, we drop. Our intention and our... But we were silent, and we were there, and at the end we were lucky enough to go through. But again, it's two games, and in general, in both games, we deserve to go through.
How much of it do you think was a leggy performance, especially in the second half after basically running the bollocks off against Liverpool?
Yeah, like you said, they dropped there. It's funny because he did a press conference before the game. I think I was just asked about fatigue and stuff. He was like, at this stage of the season, you're not tired. You know, if you're a footballer, you live for the big games, and you can lose games because of a bad performance or, you know, bad luck or whatever, decisions or whatever, but not because you're tired. And then comes after the game and goes, yeah, we were fucked. which I get, you know, it's you can't, you know, you're not going to, you're never going to.
You can't say that before the game, can you?
Yeah. We are tired. Yeah, exactly. You don't really want that. When Thomas Tuchel was doing it over Christmas, everyone was kind of like, have a word with yourself kind of thing.
Yeah, no one's going into a big game going, yeah, so, you know, yeah, what, are all shagged. We can't move.
But it was inevitable, wasn't it? That, you know, I remember tweeting after Liverpool game, I was like, De Bruyne and Bernardo in particular ran their asses off. Now go to Madrid and do it again. It's just no surprise they didn't last the whole game. You know, we don't need to go over it again, but we talked about the physical capacity needed for that Liverpool game, but the mental capacity as well. You know, every single action basically, not so much had to be perfect, but just couldn't be a mistake. Like it would have been absolutely draining. And then to go there after, you know, it was exactly the same against Atletico last week in the first leg. So then to go and do it again, and this is what I've always said about this run of fixtures and the squad management is going to be fascinating. We've not seen too many changes so far. They can rotate in the front positions because that's where they got the most depth, but midfield and defence, not so much. And I mean, if we are starting to look at the Liverpool game next and talking about fatigue from the last Liverpool game, I always expected there to be a lot of changes. I don't know what a lot of changes would look like. I don't know who's going to play in midfield.
Yeah,
will Fernandinho play in midfield? Probably. Will Gundogan play? Probably. But who are, like, would he do like what he did last year when Sterling played, and Sterling and Ferran Torres played as number 8 against Chelsea? Like, it might have to be something like that.
Yeah.
Or you finally put Grealish in there and you put Sterling, Jesus, and I don't know, somebody else up front. He's not going to play a youngster, is he? He wouldn't have thought.
I can't imagine.
He's going to want to play Liverpool, but there's just physically they just won't be able to.
Yeah, he said Palmer was it? Did he say Palmer was back training or not quite back training yet? So I mean, like, he wouldn't just chuck the lap in, would he? Anything like that? I can't see it.
I can't see it either. There's enough options. I mean, imagine if you'd guess the front three would be Jesus, Sterling, and Grealish, which. It's the same situation as last season, isn't it? When Jesus and like Sterling came in for that Chelsea semi-final, and you think these players should be enough, but it wasn't. But it's difficult, and I don't even know who played for Liverpool last night. I heard Van Dijk didn't start. I heard this morning that Alexander Arnold and Robertson didn't start, so that doesn't bode particularly well. But then if they're going to go full guns against City, obviously, you know, you'd like to think whoever's playing for City puts up the battle, and it pushes on Liverpool's fatigue for their league matches, I guess. But that's why it's always going to be fascinating, and we're just going to have to see what kind of team it is. But I think everybody realizes now that it's not going to be the same kind of team we've seen for the last three games, because it's just not possible. And also, even if it were, it wouldn't be possible to then go and do it again against Brighton. And I don't think,
I mean, this
how
is,
it is, you'd want to take that risk.
This is the thing. It's like I'm almost, it's a weird position to be in, because I want to beat Liverpool at the weekend, but I'm in this weird position where I'm almost at peace with not doing it, just on the base, on the back of if they can give themselves the best possible chance to beat Brighton and keep themselves in a position to keep the momentum in the league, having seen the performances that they've now put in, you know, in two legs against Atletico and the Premier League game against Liverpool. I'm kind of like, even if this one game at the weekend is a step too far, so be it. It's kind of all right. You know, they've had a really good form in the Premier League.
Then you just say, well, yeah, exactly. Then so be it, unfortunately. And then you just kind of fingers crossed that Chelsea or Palace win or something, if we're talking about Liverpool not winning trebles or quadruples or whatever. But yeah, exactly. It feels like the game in the Premier League, they did well. The league still in a good situation. The Champions League probably went about as well as it could, I guess, against Atletico. And here they are. So it's just all about making sure they can, you know, when they put out that team against Brighton next week, you know, you're hoping that De Bruyne, Bernardo, Kyle Walker, they're all on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just finally on the Atletico tie, Sam, before we wrap up, I just wonder, would City, I mean, even a couple of years ago, would City have lost under those circumstances?
I think so. I know a few people have said that, and I do think so. But for years, it was only last season of all the Guardiola seasons, I actually thought, oh yeah, they can win the Champions League this year. Like, I just didn't believe it before that. I didn't think they were ready. Obviously, when they beat Real Madrid in the pandemic season, you think, okay, they took a step here. And then obviously Leon happened. And
we knew in that pandemic season that there was something up with the team all the way through it, though, didn't we?
Exactly. And even before that, like, because I remember obviously when they lost to Tottenham, they were very unlucky. And look, maybe if they'd have not had that bad luck, they'd have gone on and won it, mate. And, you know, I'd have been talking shite. But I think in the previous round, didn't they come from like 2-1 down or something like that to beat Hoffenheim? And I was like, if you're struggling to beat Hoffenheim, or maybe it was Schalke.
Schalke.
No, they had Hoffenheim in the groups.
It was Schalke
Schalke. I was like, Germany. I remember writing like a kind of a negative article after a positive result kind of thing. Like, because obviously Sané scored that great free kick and then Sterling scored that kind of sucker punch goal at the end. And it was, oh, wow, great. Well, City are through to the next round then. Brilliant. And I was just like, they're not going to win the Champions League if they play like this. They're too open. And obviously that was the case against Spurs in the end. So I've always thought at those points, City weren't ready, despite the fact that they're always favourites. Whenever I did media stuff, it was, oh, City favourites, what do you reckon? I was like, I don't think they should be. Or whether they should be. I just don't think they are. And I always thought as well, because, you know, whichever version of the City team it is, we always think they'll have loads of chances, they'll miss them and concede on the counter-attack. Whichever kind of subtle tweak has been made over the years, I think it's, you know, the kind of stereotypical view of City is that. And I always thought, if City play Atletico Madrid in recent years, just forget it.
Yeah,
like, no way. And I thought this was going to be harder than a lot of people did going into it, but I did think, no, this City team and that this kind of Atletico Madrid team, although obviously they rouse themselves for the big occasions, I did think that this was the year that City would get past them, whereas in the past they wouldn't have. And yeah, if you see how the game panned out yesterday, because I don't think they'd, because ultimately we can look at the last 45 minutes and say, well, it was a bad reaction, but they did control the first three halves, and I don't think previous teams would have done that, basically.
Yeah definitely.
So that was a short answer that I dragged out over 2 minutes, but yeah, exactly. They were great. They were great for the first three halves. They did what they needed to do. But obviously, they weren't clinical. And if they had been, then it wouldn't have been game over after the first leg. But, you know, if Gundogan had scored in the first half, then
different story.
Most likely, that would have been it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and they keep getting clean sheets now in the knockout phase as well. So that can only bode well, I think, for if they can do that against Real Madrid, then they're doing well, because that's not going to be an easy tie at all. That's the end of this week's second helping of Why Always Us. Thank you to Sam Lee.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.